a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. Previous committee ran a little bit late, so we're getting a little bit of a late start, but we'll just be able to move right along nicely. Welcome to the Senate Taxation Committee, and I would ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Frisley?
Here.
Hunstead?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Nygaard?
Here.
Lederman?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
Everyone's present.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Just to kind of quickly remind you of some of the rules of the road here, well, first of all, we should have a motion to approve the minutes. Moved and seconded to approve the minutes from our last meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion by Nelson, seconded by Lederman. Okay, we will take... three bills this morning. Plan in the order of start with Bill 100, then we will go to Senate Bill 111, and we will finish with Senate Bill 120, and we are deferring the action on Senate Bill 110 until our next Monday meeting. Those of you who are wishing to testify on any of the bills, please sign in at the register back there by the door. And if you have any handouts, the page is here to work with us. And Dacey Byron is a page from Draper Myrtle. And we have inherited a page from the House. And you surprised me. You're going to have to tell me who you are. Why don't you do that?
Okay. I'm Brittany Chiak, and I'm from Tyndall.
Welcome, Brittany. We're happy to have you in the Senate. Our two interns, of course, there's Robbie Canis from Clear Lake and Ashley Tanner from Gettysburg, both students at Northern State University. And I also am programmed to remind you that if you have a cell phone, please turn it on, because if it rings, then that means you get to bring donuts for everybody at our next meeting. And we have a special fondness of food in this committee. With that, we are ready to begin. And the first bill, Senate Bill 100, I happen to be the prime sponsor of, so I'm going to turn the gavel over to my vice chair, and we will proceed from there.
Okay, the next bill up for consideration is Senate Bill 100, an act to modify the ethanol production incentive payment to include qualified producers of biobutanol. Are there any proponents for Senate Bill 100?
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Tom Hansen. I'm a senator from Huron, District 22. And it's my pleasure to come before you this morning to introduce the Senate Bill 100. Before we get started, we do have an amendment that I would prefer that you act on. It's brought to you only because of a drafting error in the preparation of the bill. So in order to put it in the form that I wish to have it, I would ask you to approve Amendment 100TA.
Mr. Chairman, may I move the amendment 100TA?
Second.
Having a motion on 100TA and a second. Motion by Senator Hunstad, second by Senator Nygaard. This is a voice vote. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, nay. All opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I'm Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22. I know that there are others that are wanting to speak to this bill that will provide some additional historical perspective, as well as explain some of the scientific issues that are described, but allow me first of all to call attention to the proposals that this bill seeks to achieve. Senate Bill 100 starts out referring to 10-47B-3, which is the definitions area of that section of the chapter. Section 1 of the bill adds a definition for the term biobutanol. Section 2 provides a definition for the term qualified biobutanol producer. And that ties to the definitions, that ties the definition back to 10-47B-162, which is the section of the law dealing with what is called our producer incentive payment available to ethanol producers. That is also the statute that sets out a schedule for how the incentive payments are to be made and to whom they are to be paid. Section 3 of the bill is a exact reproduction of 10-47B-162. And as you read down through it, you will note just how those incentive payments are to be amortized over the years and continuing until the end of the qualifying production facility has received their share of the incentive payments. The only change being being suggested is outlined in lines 3 and 4 on page 2. It recognizes that if an ethanol production facility chooses to modify their plant to produce biobutanol, it will continue to be eligible for the production incentive payments. It is worthwhile to note that this change does not add to the amount of incentive to be received. It only makes clear that they will continue to receive their incentive as has been established in 10-47B-162. This is an important issue for the ethanol industry in South Dakota as it recognizes another option as they seek to respond to the opportunities offered by the marketplace. At the same time, it is attempting to provide the best possible options for the ag producers who supply the corn. There are others who wish to speak to the bill, so I will stand down and I will be happy to answer questions at the proper time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 100?
Mr. Chairman, my name's Tom Hitchcock. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Redfield Energy. We're a 50 million gallon ethanol plant located north of Redfield, South Dakota. I'm here to speak on behalf of this bill. I'm registered as a lobbyist for Redfield Energy. In front of you, you have a handout that I've prepared. Our facility, I just want to kind of give a background. We're a ethanol production facility, as I said, north of Redfield. We have about 850 members of that company. Today we employ 42 employees, crush a lot of corn on an annual basis, nearly 20 million bushels last year. Produced over 160,000 tons of distillers grains and moved over 55 million gallon of ethanol. So we're, I guess, an economic development spur for Spink County, South Dakota. Just to give you a little background, we were introduced to we went over to Brookings, South Dakota State, put on a kind of an introduction deal for a group of a gentleman, a company from Inglewood, Colorado, back in October of 2010, talking about the new frontier, the new generation of biofuels, and several of our board members, several other board members from ethanol plants went over there, and it was a very good discussion. Out of that discussion, our company, our board got excited that maybe this is something we need to look at, of converting our facility from one that produces ethanol over to a new fuel, isobutanol. Isobutanol would be still a biobutanol fuel. Through that process, and isobutanol, just to kind of give you a little bit of a upfront here, is a four-carbon molecule. Ethanol is only a two-carbon molecule. Isobutanol has the same characteristics as isobutanol that would come out of a barrel of oil. Okay? So this is a new step in technology, a new step in chemistry. I wasn't a chemist. My background's been business, but this gives us a lot of opportunities. Our membership approved going with GEVO, in June of 2011. Current plans are to start construction of the facility at Redfield later this summer, early fall. The company is currently constructing isobutanol facility over at Luverne, Minnesota. It would be the largest commercial facility in the world of bio isobutanol, and we're kind of excited about this. Gevo will contribute 100% of the capital to this project for an equity share. It's a $30 million plus capital expenditure project to do all the necessary equipment. Isobutanol has multiple markets today. Ethanol just has the market to be blended with gasoline, and I'll go over some of those other markets shortly. The retrofit that Gevo proposes on our plant would still give us the ability to switch back to ethanol if that was economically feasible. The plant's going to use the same amount of corn, produce the same amount of feed distillers, and give us financial stability. Next chart I have is the kind of from the front end of the process, the feedstocks. With this technology, you can use corn, sugarcane, agricultural residue, wood. Our plant today is corn, as most of the larger plants in the state. It will go through a process that incorporates a different yeast that basically has been shut off of making corn sugars into ethanol, but make it into a four-carbon isobutanol. Gevo has a proprietary separation unit that is the largest expenditure here to separate that isobutanol from the water in a continuous process. And then the product that we would produce is isobutanol, the four-carbon molecule, and it has a multitude of uses. It can be used as a drop-in chemical. It can be made into plastics, rubber tires, solvents, paint thinners, an array of anything you can make out of a barrel of oil can be made out of this product. And I think the exciting thing is the drop-in fuel capability of being able to one day, once we get enough plants to convert, to have jet fuel made out of corn. All right. I know the USDA and the airlines are looking at this because they're getting a lot of pressure from overseas getting some of their jet fuel to be bio friendly. I have another chart here that kind of shows for our facility the difference between isobutanol and ethanol. Again, the feedstock would still remain the same, 18 million bushels of corn a year. Of course, we've been doing a little better than that because we've done some modifications to our facility. The amount of isobutanol that would be produced would be about 80% of the ethanol gallons. Now, the reason for that is you have a higher concentration of BTU in that gallon of isobutanol, so you can have less gallons. It's got the same overall energy value. Logistics-wise, today, ethanol can only be hauled by truck or rail. With isobutanol, it's just like a petroleum product. It can go in pipelines. You know, it's safe to do that. As far as refinery usage, refiners are going to like this because they can just, we can bring it into their storage tanks and they can do with whatever. The blenders aren't going to like it. The refiners don't like, the blenders will like it, but the refineries don't like it that the blenders get that product downstream. Again, I've talked about the energy density. There's more BTUs in a gallon of isobutanol. As far as end markets, isobutanol can go into 100% of fuels. It can be made into diesel fuel, jet fuel, kerosene, be blended with gasoline, where today ethanol can only be blended with gasoline. From a risk management standpoint, we would enter into some long-term contracts for the sale and production of the isobutanol indexed to the feedstock or indexed to the price of corn. So if corn goes up, you know, we'll still make our margins. And that's, I guess I can only say that this is, all of these ventures are good for agriculture in the state of South Dakota. I know people have been talking about, you know, where corn prices would be, where our state land values would be if it weren't for ethanol. Today we're producing 1 billion gallons of ethanol. And that's using approximately 400,000 bushel of corn. Our 400 million bushel of corn, that's a lot of corn. Okay, and that's bringing good values to our farmers. The next page that I have here is just simply an illustration where on the left side it's just the yeast molecule, and again, I'm not into chemistry, but all the high-flying genetics that go with that, and then bringing it over to the right side, the chemistry behind that, they'll turn off the switches that change the yeast that then will make the sugars into a four-carbon isobutanol molecule. Again, as far as isobutanol, there's multiple markets to sell the product. Solvents, this is a greater than a $5 billion market worldwide. Paints, paint thinners, nail polish, solvents. Rubbers and lubricants, you know, make it into tires, just like you would out of a barrel of oil. The big opportunity down the line will be the biojet piece of it. Gevo has been working with United Airlines and some other airlines, and they're currently testing the fuel. That should be approved somewhere in year 2013, and this is the exciting part of it, that we get this made into jet fuel, and some of our Air Force fighter jets can say that, you know, they're burning fuel that's made right here in the United States, right out of corn. And then the last slide I have is the regulatory approval status, solvents, rubber, and lubricants. None is needed. On the biojet side, the ASTM is looking at certification. That's planned to be completed in the year 2013. And, of course, isobutanol is approved by the EPA today to be blended with gasoline. It says 12.5% here. That was when the 10% blend was approved, but now we're heading towards a 15% approval with E15. So that ratio just goes up by another 25%. And so I'm sitting here in support of this bill. Currently, Redfield Energy gets the incentive from the state for the production of ethanol, and all we're really doing is just changing, you know, the fuel that we're producing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hitchcock. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 100?
Good morning, Chairman Lederman and members of the committee. Hunter Roberts with the Governor's Office of Economic Development. I'll be brief since I think Tom covered it pretty well. Certainly, from our perspective, the Governor's Office of Economic Development and the Governor's Office, the ethanol industry has been good for South Dakota. I don't think that's really in dispute. This is just another way to expand upon that good industry. I mean, currently ethanol employs about 800 or 900 South Dakotans, and not only employs 900 South Dakotans, is largely owned by South Dakotans too. So that wealth creation is certainly an important factor for the citizens of South Dakota. Additionally, this bill would give support to ethanol producers that are looking to expand into a higher product value, a renewable product, and I think that's something that's important, and I think that's something we'd encourage the members of this committee to support, is support that diversification. I think little steps like this show businesses opportunities that we could have that that we're open for business, that we support our industries we have. And I think that's just another thing. I think this legislator's done a great job of that, but this is just another thing we can pile on to show that. We don't know what the next biotech opportunity is, but they could see what's happening in Redfield and say this is a good place to do business, and there might be another opportunity after that. So with that, on behalf of the governor's office and the governor's office of economic development, I encourage you to support the bill as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Other proponents for Senate Bill 100?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Walt Bones, and I have the honor of serving as your Secretary of Agriculture. My first experience with biobutanol was about 4 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, when I was on the South Dakota Corn Growers Board, and the folks from Gevo came and made a presentation. And I'm sure that after he left, everybody was went and checked their computers to find out how they could buy stock in Gevo. It really, really was an exciting concept. And then they went a step farther, bought the plant over in Laverne, and then now they've got this agreement with Redfield. My second experience with the biobutanol was last spring. I went to a international symposium in Kansas City, and a biology professor from Stanford University was probably, I thought, the best speaker of the whole thing. But he says, you know, the last decade has been defined by electronics. He says the next decade is going to be defined by biology. And he went into some of the same exact slides that the Gevo folks showed us and showed us about all the opportunities that are out there for biobutanol to replace a lot of our fossil fuels and a number of the products that the folks talked about, that Tom talked about earlier. So we are really excited about the future of biobutanol here in South Dakota. It is just a beginning, an emerging industry, you know, kind of where our ethanol industry was 20 years ago when you folks started some of these incentives. And so we are in full support of giving these folks the same opportunities and the same incentives to develop this exciting industry that that the ethanol folks have. So, again, as South Dakota led the way with the ethanol industry 20 years ago, South Dakota has an opportunity now with this innovation to lead the way in an exciting way. And it gives diversity to our biofuels industry, and Department of Ag and our farmers are well behind this. So we'd appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary Bones. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 100? Any opponents for Senate Bill 100? Seeing no opponents, we'll open up this part of the committee for questions. Are there any questions for the testimony?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Nygaard?
Yes, I'd like to ask the Secretary a couple quick questions.
Secretary Bones?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Nygaard?
Walt, I see on this chart here that we're looking at agricultural residue. I presume that's, in this particular photograph, it doesn't look like corn stalks, but it could be corn stalks or some baled material bean after you combine your beans, whatever. This is cellulosic ethanol. Is that what this is referring to?
Mr. Chairman? Yeah. Senator Nygaard, yes, I would believe so. Yes.
And follow up. And my question also is, let's say that it's hay or corn stalks. In the process, does that create another, you know, like we have distiller's grain when we use corn, which then can be put back into the feed chain. To your knowledge, or maybe we'll have to ask somebody else, but is there going to be a byproduct there that we can put that back in the feed chain to feed it to cattle?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Yes. Senator Nygaard, that's a great question. You know, the cellulosic industry is evolving. And one would think there's got to be something left. There's got to be something left. How it's going to be utilized, what kind of byproduct, what kind of usage it's going to have. Again, when that industry gets here, I'm sure we'll figure out a way of using it. Maybe it's fertilizer or, you know, put it back on the land, you know, whatever it might be. I'm sure that if it has any kind of value at all, we'll figure out how to use it.
And one other quick question. And then I see sugarcane mentioned there, and I know when we used to fill silos, we had, it wasn't necessarily sugarcane, but it was a cane.
Mm-hmm.
does this signify that we could, in fact, grow sugar cane in South Dakota?
I don't, Mr. Chairman, excuse me. You know, who knows with biotechnology and the way that we're changing some of the plants and when we talk about drought-tolerant corn and some of the things that's going on, some of the really exciting things going on in our industry, maybe. You know, maybe. There's the advantage of having a sugar-type thing. I mean, there's a sugar, there's sorghum, you know, the kind of a sweet sorghum type thing, same type of thing. It helps in the ethanol process. I'm not necessarily sure about the biobutanol. I'm sure it's probably the same way. We've got to convert that to a sugar first before we can get the ethanol out of it. The advantage of sugarcane, it's already a sugar. And so the processing time, the amount of time it takes to go through the whole process, is about half. So therefore, you can take the same plant and have twice the capacity, so to speak. So, you know, there's some exciting opportunities out there, I think, for us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Senator Hunstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To go back to the discussion that was earlier, that was just asked, I raised corn that was sterile. That was high sugar corn that we put in our silage pile because it made excellent feed. So I really do think there's some of that. But that's not what my question is. My question would be, I think so. The fact is that we're going to create a higher energy density in the fuel, so there'll be less gallons. Our tax system now is based on the gallonage. Am I right? And if so, won't their tax actually be... their tax will be less per energy unit, or their tax rebate or tax forgiveness, or however you want to put that?
Sir,
not the guy. Okay.
Sir, I would defer. I am not a tax expert, so.
Yes, excuse me. I'll take a whack at it. So. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Roberts.
Senator Hudson, I think that's a good question. It's not legal to blend biobutanol in the transportation fuels today. So this is something that's years away that we're going to have time to address. I think largely what the facility in Redfield, which won't be up and running plant till 2013, is going to sell to industrial chemicals.
Okay.
And then hopefully the Department of Defense, the front end leaders in the technology chain first as a higher value product. So I guess I'll stop there with it's something we can discuss in the future. I don't think it needs to be addressed now.
Thank you.
Any other questions on Senate Bill 100? If not, we'll open it up for committee discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to pass on this wonderful piece of legislation.
Senator Hunstad makes a motion to pass on Senate Bill 100. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Nygaard. This is a roll call vote. Secretary, will you please take the roll?
Frizzly?
Aye.
Hunstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 100, having received a unanimous vote, will go to the floor with a do pass motion.
Thank you, Senator Lederman. You made it official.
Senator Frisley, would you want this on consent?
I think any time we can get something on consent, that's a good idea.
Second.
Moved by Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Nygaard. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 100 will go to the floor on due pass.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nygaard.
Personal privilege.
Yes, sir.
Well, desperately sitting here during this last bill consideration, Senate Bill 100, trying to come up with a question for young Mr. Hunter Roberts, but I couldn't think of any. And the reason I wanted to come up with a question is because it wasn't that many years ago that Hunter was in my criminal procedure class as a young football player at the University of South Dakota. And so I'm sorry, Hunter, I'll catch you on another committee hearing.
I might ask, what was the university where that took place?
That was the university, is the way we call it now.
Thank you. Thank you all. The next bill that we will consider is Senate Bill 111, which is an act to provide a deduction of certain mining permit fees for taxes paid on the mining of precious metals. And we have Senator Nelson. Welcome.
Thank you, Senator Hansen, and good morning, members of the committee. There is an amendment being passed out, which you can move at an appropriate time, but with your permission, I will speak to both the bill and the amendment.
Please do.
Thank you. Tom Nelson from Lead, State Senator, District 31, which is Lawrence County. Senate Bill 11 is what I consider a simple bill that corrects what I also consider an unintended consequence that stems from House Bill 1048 from the 2009 legislative session. I was here, and I voted for it. That bill was brought to the Appropriations Committee on behalf of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources to adjust a number of fees for mines, well drilling, and a variety of things that DENR looks after. As I recall the conversation, it was somewhat geared to proposed uranium mining exploration and increase the application fee for large-scale exploratory mines from $1,000 to $50,000. That part seemed at that time and continues to seem correct. The annual fee for an existing unamended mine permit is $100. The unintended consequence occurs when an amendment to an existing permit is sought. That also carries a $50,000 fee. So for Wharf Resources, a large gold mining company near Lead, it meant basically $50,000 each year as they would slightly amend or even slightly amend an existing permit. Right now, Wharf has five existing permits and applied for a new permit about a year ago. I thought that was a little petty, since most of the DENR work is done with the initial application, and Wharf does pay millions of dollars in severance taxes each year. My initial bill was to reduce the permit fee dollar for dollar if the mine paid over $100,000 annually in taxes. Secretary Perner pointed out the error of my thinking, that could not work since the fees would go to DENR, but the taxes go to the general fund. I was getting ready to abandon this bill because I did not want to take the $50,000 away from DENR, so I said I would kill the bill. The next day, Secretary Perner said, let's sit down and talk about it, because he had some thoughts on the issue and thought we might be able to correct it. That fixes the amendment, which is before you, which says that amending an existing permit would only cost $5,000. You see, the legislation in 2009 only addressed fees for new mine permits and treated amendments to existing permits as new, thus $50,000 a pop. With this bill, amending an existing permit will only cost $5,000. Needless to say, I'm very grateful to Secretary Perner for helping me prepare this bill and the amendment in the correct way, which does not harm DENR, does not harm the state coffers, and tremendously helps a very productive company that for almost 30 years has been part of our economy. An intended consequence of this bill and amendment also extends to existing companies and permits throughout the state. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I appreciate your time, and I will stand by for question. I encourage your support on Senate Bill 111 and the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Let's see. Let's hold the amendment. I'm sure that we'll want to move it, but let's let the other. Are there other proponents? Anyone else speaking as a proponent to Senate Bill 111? Further proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 111? Any opponents? Are there any questions of all of the testifiers so far?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nygaard.
Thank you. A question for the sponsor of the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you. I'm looking at the amendment. May I address the amendment?
You certainly may.
The amendment 111FA would create, it appears to create, well, it says it amended to read as 45-6B-14. It doesn't refer to the page number and the line number of your bill, and I'm just wondering how you want that to be fit into the record.
I think, Mr. Chairman,
Senator,
I think it would be appropriate that this be considered a Hoghouse Amendment.
So you're suggesting follow-up?
Mr. Yes.
Chairman? So you're suggesting to strike everything after be it enacted?
I believe the Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I believe the amendment says on the printed bill, delete everything after the enacting clause and insert.
Oh, okay. So you're striking this whole thing.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
For clarity, it does address a different section of law.
Yes.
Right.
Further further questions, comments? Seeing none, we'll close to committee discussion. And Senator Hunstead, you're... Okay, moved by Senator Hunstead, Amendment 111FA, Foxtrot Alpha.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Lederman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the bill is so amended. Now we are ready for discussion or action on the amended bill. Senator Nygaard.
I would move due pass on the bill as amended.
Okay, we have a due pass motion from Senator Nygaard, a second from Senator Lederman. Any speaking, Senator Nygaard?
No, I think, I will, in that the Hog House Amendment makes it rather clear and addresses the issue that had concerned the prime sponsor prior to the Hog House. And I think this does what it needs to do.
Thank you, Senator. Any other comments? Seeing none, all in favor will say aye. All those opposed, say nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Nahar?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, unanimous vote. Do we need a title amendment?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Nygaard?
I would move title amendment 111FTA.
Okay, motion by Senator Nygaard, second by Senator Frisley.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator.
I would have a substitute motion. I don't believe the title amendment as printed is correct.
Okay.
The title amendment as we have refers to a deduction, which was the original intent of the bill. And I believe the title amendment should read, an act to revise the mining permit fees, period.
Okay.
So I would move.
Second.
I would move the amendment of the title amendment.
Okay. Substitute amendment by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Nygaard. Any speaking, I guess, any further speaking to that? If not, all in favor of the substitute title amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The title is so amended.
Move consent.
Move by Senator Nygaard to put this on the consent calendar. Is there a second?
I would just respond to that in
yes.
In that I was going to say that it would be a first impression on the floor, but
I think that it would be acceptable because amended bills are passed unanimously. There was no opposition. An amendment, whether it completely amends the language or if it just amends, like in Senate Bill 100 a few minutes ago, I would say I would accept it.
Mr. Chairman, I would also suggest that since the Hog House was truly not one of these hog houses that moves to another quadrant of our society, this was right on the same area of law that the bill itself would have raised opposition or proponents to, that perhaps it'd be all right.
Okay, moved by Senator Nygaard, seconded by... Do we have a second for the consent?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Nelson. All in favor of the consent motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Senate Bill 111 will go to the floor on consent. Were able to find Senator Edelstein? The next bill we're scheduled to hear is Senate Bill 120, and Senator Adelstein is the prime sponsor. We will just be at ease for about 5 minutes and see if we can find him. Ashley, do you want to see if you can take another swing around?
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Senate tax will come back to order, and Senator Adelstein has requested that 120 be deferred, which we will do. So at this point, that completes the agenda for this morning. A motion to adjourn would be in order.
So moved
by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Nygaard to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, our next meeting will be Monday of next week, and we will plan to hear Senate Bill 120, Senate Bill 142, Senate Bill 95, and Senate Bill 110, which was also deferred from today. So, I guess I should ask, is there anyone here that plan to testify on either of those two bills, 120 or 110, that we had planned to take today? Yeah. Seeing none, we will... I had planned to take that, but I realize that it's a difficult time for you to come back to peer, but you will have to persevere. We are adjourned. Thank you.